Okay, last sif in Simen Shin Lamed Daled is the topic of malacha she'en tzricha legufa. That means you do a malacha on Shabbos, but not for the same reason that it was done in the Mishkan, or maybe it means or not for the purpose that the malacha is generally done for. It's a indirect, we'll call it indirect result of what you're doing is that you did a malacha and you know that you're doing it. It's not like psikresha, you know you're doing it, but it wasn't where you were thinking. You were thinking about, let's say, taking dirt from the ground and you happened to make a hole. You happened to make a hole. What you wanted was the dirt. That's called chayfer guma ve'en sarach ela farah. That's a case of malacha she'en tzricha legufa. So here we have a story of putting out some type of fire coals, burning hot coals that are on fire. So it says that if they're standing in the street, you're allowed to put them out, because otherwise people will get hurt. But it does say specifically only the public will get hurt. That's what says Rabim. It sounds like if it's only an individual, then we don't have this heter. And if we pass Machshen Tzrich L'Gufas Potter, so it doesn't matter if it's made of metal or wood, either way it's only Durabonin. And to avoid the danger, it's Mutter, according to the Rambam, Machshen Tzrich L'Gufas Chayev. He doesn't care why you're doing the malach. If you do the malach, you always have. So he forbids wood. We paskin like the first shita. That's the Mishnah Berurah of Katan Pehei. We paskin that it doesn't matter if it's wood or metal. If there's a danger, putting out the fire, putting out the issue is always going to be considered malach shein tzrich l'gufa, and it's pater. And in order to avoid people getting hurt, it's mutter. But like I keep pointing out, specifically only a bunch of people getting hurt. So what would be the lacha if there's something dangerous in your house? So there's a Be'er Halacha that talks about a little bit in Shin Ches and also in Taf Kafir Ches. And he does mention that maybe like broken glass in the house is mutter to move. There's no issue of malacha, by the way, right? Moving broken glass in the house is only an issue of muksa, not of malacha. So the Mishnah Berurah is mashma. That the halacha of moving muksa also has the problem of the rabbim, because the Shulchan Aruch and Taf Kafir Ches. It's not our issue, per se. However, it's for sure mutter to get rid of the glass. You don't have to leave broken glass in your house. Just the question is it mutter because what it talks about here, to avoid the danger, you're allowed to move the muksa? That's one heter. A lot of people say that. That means it's mutter even with your hands to pick it up. Or is it mutter to sweep it up? There you're not moving with your hands. You're sweeping it up into a dustpan. And then it's going to be called the heter of Tolta Minatzad. Either way, it's for sure mutter, meaning it's for sure mutter to get rid of. No one should ever think they have to leave broken glass on their floor in their house on Shabbos, because it's muksa. Actually, it wasn't someone's house, and that's what he thought the lacha was. Told him it's definitely not the lacha. There is a shail in the Be'er Halacha. If you're allowed to pick it up with your hands, you have to sweep it up. If it's a situation where you can't sweep it up and it's easier and more safer, so you might as well be machmir like the Be'er Halacha is mashma. But if for any reason it's harder, you can definitely be mekel based on the Mishnah Berurah's non-conviction. He doesn't say black and white. In other words, he doesn't say for sure it's aser. It's a little bit as a question mark, but he does say, like the Prima Gadam says as well in our halacha, that if you are going to be matir, it's because the danger is imminent. So if you think that for sure the person in the house is going to step on the glass, then for sure it's going to be mutter to move the glass and avoid the imminent danger. So I just want to repeat that to make sure it's clear about the broken glass. For sure, do not leave broken glass on the floor. The best thing to be yotze, all she does is to sweep it up. That's also usually the safest. If sweeping it up doesn't work and you need to use your hands, then it's for sure allowed to be lenient. One is allowed to be lenient and pick it up with their hands where the danger is imminent, meaning that we assume someone will get hurt from it. If no one's going to get hurt from it and it's in the house, let's say not on the floor or somewhere on the side in a place that for sure it's blocked off and no one will get hurt from it, then really it's considered preferable to use the broom. And if it's impossible to use the broom and no one's going to get hurt from it, so the only reason you're moving it is for to keep things neat and clean, then it's better. Then one should be machmer like the Be'er Halacha in Simen Taf Kuf Yud Ches and not pick it up with your hands. Okay, the next Simon Shin Lamed Hey, it's a continuation, because before we're talking about saving things from fire, now we're talking about saving food when an item breaks, like a big barrel. So this whole halacha is really not so applicable is probably the word I'm looking for. It's not so applicable. You can't really apply this halacha nowadays. Picture back in the day when your big barrel of wine that was going to supply your wine for the next few weeks, few months, or your big barrel of oil that you were going to use was breaking. So people were very bahul. They became all of a sudden like, oh no, how am I going to deal? I don't have my wine, I don't have my oil. And they might come and do a malacha the same way we said by the fire. They might come and do a malacha. That's why here also it's a similar halacha. They only let us save 3 sudas worth, because we're afraid a person might do a malacha, for example, like Karen Shus Rabim. The Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat and Aleph says that there's a machlekes if it already fell on the floor. If it's a broken, the kli broke and cracked, and you're catching it, cracked, then you're definitely bahul. If it already fell on the floor, it's not so clear if you're bahul or not, how bahul you are. Bahul in English, we could say, is like a state of frenzy. If a person's in a frenzy because they're afraid that they're going to lose all their stuff. So Mishnah Berurah says if it's on the floor, you could be makel by using little cups, because once you're already doing it in a funny way by using little cups, we're not afraid that you're going to end up doing a malacha. You're already doing it in a weird way, so you're going to know not to do a malacha, picking things up off the floor and carrying them, and also especially because we don't have Rishus Ram Deraisa nowadays. The Ramah says that if it's just dripping, drip, 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 so then we can be makel, because you're not bohl, you're not in a frenzy. That is the Ramah. Another case, I'm not going to even go through all the details, because like I said, it's not really so common nowadays, it's not so applicable. If a big barrel is on the roof, and then you just try to catch or fall down the roof, there's a shayla. Is it more machmer than the case before on the floor? It's even more bohol to try to figure out how to catch it with different kalim. Or is it less bohol? And maybe when you have a really big kli, then you could catch a lot more. In other words, there are different discussions involving try to save things that's dripping when the big barrel is on the roof, dripping down, because now you have to grab a bunch of kalim to catch it based on the fact that it's a different circumstance in the catching. We could have chumras and kulas. I'm going to leave the rest to anyone who wants to read it inside. It's Shin Lamed Hei Sif Beis. Bruin Sif Katan Yud Beis points out anyone who messes up and accidentally catches when they're not allowed, they don't know the halacha well enough, it's mutter to drink or use the food, even for the person himself who caught it. That's Mishnah Berurah Sif Katan Yud Beis. Sif Tav is a little complicated if you don't know all the different concepts, but first of all, juice that comes out of grapes on their own on Shabbos called Mashkin Shazavo, and that juice is Aser. It's Mashkin Shazavo. It's a Xera. Juice that comes out of fruit by itself on Shabbos is Aser. We're afraid you're going to come and squeeze. So there's Muksa juice coming out. Can you catch the Muksa juice coming out? If you put a Kli under the Muksa, it's called Bitol Kli Me'echanoi. That's a problem. We spoke about this when we learned Tilchas Muksa. So different Eitzes that you could do. First of all, the Magen Avraham, the Mishnah Berurah brings in Sif Katan Tezvav, and it's also a Ramah Darkei Moshe. It points out you could put something inside the Kli that's going to make it that the Kli is not just what mukhs inside. For example, you put water and now it's catching the juice. So the water is mutter. The water that you put inside the Kli is mutter, and the juice that it catches is mukhsa. But even though it's muksan, it's a davar sheish matir, it's not going to be mutter till tomorrow, we pask in that min b'shein amino, wine and water, two different species, so it's going to be batal. And each drop that drops in its batal is called kama kama batal. And anyways, the wine that goes into the water, it's all going to be mutter, and it's going to be mutter to move the kli. That is the eitzah of the Ramah brought by the Mishnah Berurah Sifkat and Tezvav. The same exact situation applies by water dripping from air conditioners and you want to catch it there. Normally you would think you can't put water because then it's min b'minoy, they're both water. There's Reb Chaim Kanievsky that says the water from the tap is different than the water that comes to the air conditioner. A lot of people don't like that so much, but that is what he says. But if you put something else, don't put water, put a different drink, then it should be mutter. You're taking the same exact reasoning of the Mishnah Berurah over here. The Shulchan Aruch is to make a graf shalrei, even though we don't normally make a graf shalrei, but for a hefsed, we would make a graf shorei lechachila. So if everything in his backyard is going to get ruined from this juice, he's allowed to set up camp right next to it. Then it becomes disgusting. Things are disgusting. You're allowed to move in even if they're muksa. So that is what the Shulchan Aruch talks about, making a graf shorei lechachila b'makom hefsed. The Shulchan Aruch and Mishnah Berurah Sifkat and Tezayin. Okay, the siman ends off with another case of food that's spilling all over. And the problem over here is a problem of uvda dechel. The case is that your fruit goes everywhere, scattered everywhere in the yard. So to go ahead and start to collect everything that's scattered around into a basket is called uvda dechel. And therefore, you're only allowed to take one or two at a time and eat them, but you're not allowed to put it inside a basket. Not so scattered. They all fell in one place, and it's mutter to put them back in a basket. However, not if they fell in like all kinds of rocks and dirt, then it also becomes uvda dechel. The Mishnah Berurah talks about when there could be bayrer also as well. Points out that even if there is going to be bayrer, as long as you have a mind to pick it up, to eat it right away, then that's okay, because bayrer we know is mutter if you use your hand and you take the eichel for immediate consumption. It's one of the very hard sugyas, how to know when something's asr, because uvda dechel. Uvda dechel literally means the way we act during the week. So basically we just learn the ones that are brought in the Shulchan Aruch, and we try not to do exactly what is considered us because of the dechel, but we don't make up our own yisurim based on the ones in Shulchan Aruch.